Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hey, Susie. How you doing today?
Well, luckily, I can see you on video because if I was looking outside, I definitely could not see you at all. But welcome, Groom Pack, to episode 269 of the Groom Pod, recorded on September 13th, 2020, in Snohomish, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, The Absorber, and Stazco. Speaking of the Absorber towel, I want to tell you of a great offer they've given us. If you put the Groom Pod in their coupon code and it's the first time you've shopped at their website, they will give you 10% off. And the Absorber towel is really a great technology, especially for mobile groomers, but really for everybody. It feels like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser, and it's saving me tons of laundry time, space in my mobile. It really sucks a lot of that water off that I was dealing with just gathering in my grooming trailer, and it makes the dogs dry a lot quicker. I cut them in half so they're easier to wring, and I store them in a bucket full of vinegar like a Tupperware with a top on it, and they're just making my life so much better. So if you guys are interested in testing out the Absorber towel for yourself, you can go to dogloverstowel.com and put the Groom Pod in the coupon code, and you'll get 10% off on your first purchase. Barbara, this week we are talking about Groom Expo, the virtual show that is happening as we record this. And we're going to have your annual rant about the Skin Deep database. And we will talk about choosing a mentor. So I have an exciting week to tell you about.
You can just go ahead on and tell me about it. My week is just mostly dealing with the smog and smoke coming all the way to southern Arizona from California. So bad that my eyes are just like constantly burning and itching. I can hardly breathe. I'm using my rescue inhaler. I'm just like panting through my life, which I am anyway. And it's awful. I just feel so, you know, forest fires ever since I saw Bambi. Bambi just like fucked up my life. Let's just be blunt about it. Ever since I saw Bambi, I just had this horrible vision of fires wiping out little and large animals, and the fear and the, you know, and the horrible way to die, and the 12-year-old boy sitting in his car with his dog in his lap while he tried to save his grandmother from the fire. That shit is horrible. Disasters hit me emotionally, deeply. Deeply, the little girl inside of me just goes nuts.
It's hard not to, especially being the compassionate group that we are as groomers. All we can think about is the poor people and their pets and their, oh, and the wildlife and the destruction. Our hearts go out to any groomers who've been affected and anyone who's lost their home. And it's just rotten.
Their pets and their livelihoods and their whole communities. My heart goes out to all of you who are suffering from this natural disaster caused by climate change.
It's really bad when you go out to announce your gender reveal party and it starts a fire. You can't be doing that stuff, people, when it's this dry. We cannot be having campfires when it's this dry. We can't be throwing cigarettes out windows when it's this dry.
I think it's unwise to go camping right now in California, Oregon.
Good point.
This is the time you want to go to the beach. You don't want to go to the forest because there are forest fires there, and they are totally out of control, and your little favorite camping spot could be next, and people getting surrounded by flames and having to have the big helicopters come in. Oh, man.
Well, you can't even have the helicopters fly here to fight the fires in Washington State because the air quality isn't enough to support them. So we're having to fight all of the fires in Washington and Oregon from the ground with no airplane and or helicopter support. And that is very difficult. It makes it much more challenging. So anyway, moving on to more interesting grooming things and trying to shy away from the disaster that we're living in that we call 2020, which, hello, let's start it. Let's turn the computer back off and back on and see if we can't get a new start. Oh, my God. Talk about problems. All right. So let's just have a little bit of adventures in mobile grooming because it seems to be the theme for the last, 6 months. The reason I'm bringing this up is, you guys, if you're thinking about becoming a mobile groomer, this is part of what you have to deal with. If you buy something new and spend $100,000 or $70,000 or $50,000, or if you're getting a trailer, $30,000 or $20,000 on something new, you have this window of opportunity where, theoretically, if your construction has been done well, you're not going to have any of those types of problems. But once you get in there for a while, if you continue to use your same vehicle and or if you buy someone else's mobile grooming vehicle, you're going to have stuff go wrong. And it can seem like a freaking landslide, which is basically what I've been dealing with. So I got everything all back together. I got this beautiful new trailer tongue that has been constructed by a really talented welder on the front of the trailer. It's extra strong. It's reinforced in every which way. It's a beautiful piece of work, and I just feel so great about it, right? And I'm rescheduled all my appointments except for the disaster from last week, which you guys will hear the end of after I tell the story about the trailer. But actually, the story about the trailer starts with a story about the generator. I was working away, minding my own business, in a parking lot of a Home Depot because the guy doesn't have a spot for me at his house. I don't even know where he lives at this point, but he's a Tibetan Terrier, gets the haircut every 6 weeks, no matter what, and we meet in a parking lot. So I'm in the Home Depot parking lot, which, of course, I have no alternative power. I just have my generator, and my generator stops. And I go back there and I open up to see if there's gas in there. And I looked in and I thought, yeah, it looks like there's gas. And all of a sudden, I started to smell gasoline pouring, just pouring out my carburetor again, just like it had earlier in the year. So I shut the gas off. I sent the dog home. I had only washed the dog. I was drying the dog when the generator quit. And I had half a dry dog and half a wet dog. So I could not really give it an adequate haircut. It would be hard for me to adjust to the one hair dry, one hair wet side to do it. I just felt like I couldn't. So I cleaned the dog's ears. I did the button belly. I did basically a bath tidy. And I left the haircut for later on in the week. And he laughed. He's a good guy. We laughed about it. And I said, I'll call you when I get home. And so I packed the generator up and I drove home. And I sat there once again trying to figure out if I tell the husband or not. because he could fix it because he's not doing anything this time. But it could take him 3 or 4 days to get to it. And pull starting the other generator with my bad shoulder just is like aversion therapy, and I couldn't bring myself to do it. So I got up the next morning and I dropped it off back at the power tool repair guy. So I cheated a second time, Barbara. A second time. God. So I went up there, and the guy is so nice. He's like, you know what? If you want to come back in 2 hours, I'll have it done. And I said, actually, all of my appointments are way far away from here, and I'm working till after you are closed, so I'll just pick it up the next morning. He said, great, no problem. I left his place, and I had to go down a back street and then up to a major intersection so I could turn left. And because so much gas had poured in the back of my car, I had the windows open and the sunroof open so that I could breathe in my car without destroying brain cells. And as I'm driving up the street, I hear this. And I'm thinking, oh, that's not good. What could that possibly be? So I went across the highway and I pulled over. And I walked around to the side of my trailer, and I had blown my wheel bearings out again. So the thing that took me out for the 3 weeks earlier in the year had just happened again. I was literally 2 blocks from the place that did the repair. So I hit my emergency flashers, and I drove down the side of the road, and I pulled in there. And I said, dude, I wrecked my wheel bearings again. And he said, oh, I was afraid of that. I think you need a new axle. Okay, but I asked him that before he fixed the wheel bearings the first time. I said, don't I need an axle? Because isn't my spindle chewed up? And he didn't little missy me or anything like that. But he definitely didn't trust that I knew what I was talking about. So, needless to say, it put me back on the road for like a couple months. And now here I am again, broke down. So I said, can you put me back on the road today? Can you get me patched up to go back to work today? And then we'll deal with the whole need an axle thing. And he said, yes. He said, but you'll have to go and get the part. So I dropped the trailer and I went on an adventure to the trailer place to get a part. Drove back to the RV place. And I spent the day in their parking lot watching Groom Expo videos on my phone. So it wasn't lost.
Thank God you had that or you would have gone crazy.
Oh, and I'm only... See, I'm less than, I don't know, 5 miles from the house, maybe 6 miles from the house. But I don't want to go home because I know the minute I get there, I'm going to have to turn around and come right back because he'll finish it. So, and perfect that I could watch the seminars while I was sitting in my car. I mean, it was really productive. I didn't feel bad. I was able to move the two appointments. I was able to get to one of the appointments that day. So he patched me back up together and he said, well, there's been some availability issues with parts. And, you know, to me, I hear, wah, 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 because who knows how long I have. I'm on borrowed time at this point with that bearing and the spindle. So I have to locate an axle, but I cannot, on a 14-year-old trailer, find any information on my paperwork or on the trailer itself for how wide the axle is. And it's a unique extra wide axle. So he's got a... The guy at the RV place has to make some phone calls. And I go home and I'm thinking, weld an axle on the trailer. Weld a trailer tongue on the trailer. I'm going to call the welder and see if he can't do my trailer axle. So I called him up and he's like, yes, and let's make it stronger and lift it up and make it more balanced and it'll be better for you to drive. So I called the RV place and I canceled that. And I'm going to have the guy who did the tongue do the axle, because he did such a fantastic job and he can make a trailer from the ground up, and it's going to be lifted so it'll be higher so I won't drag going up and down the driveways, because sometimes my ass end will scrape on the ground a little bit, and it will be moved a little bit back to better counteract the swishing water that happens over the top of my axle. And I picked my generator up and it's perfect again. So things are looking up. But this is it. If you can't deal with this, like, some people are not meant to deal with this stuff. They are just not built with the tools and the patience and the ability to just roll with things, to be stoic and just take it as it comes and cancel if you need.
Have to have a high mental health quotient.
Oh,
going
cool.
In.
Well, that's good. I guess that's it. Thank you for that compliment.
A stress tolerance quotient, too. For the same reason that you're good troubleshooting the electronics in the morning when we record and run into a glitch and I just fall apart. You know, see, I would just be fretting and, you know, helpless and messed up. I the mobile thing is not for me because I am not mechanically interested.
So the big secret is I have hired, fired, and then hired another person to do the axle, and I haven't even told my husband about it yet.
Yeah, I know. See that, and that's probably the main reason you stayed at the damn Home Depot and watched Groom Expo videos in the parking lot instead of coming home and watching them. Yeah, I know you. I know.
One of the gifts that I was given from nature is that I have a good sense of what I can affect and what I can't affect. And in this case, I could come home and I could tell him and he would freak out about it like you would, and it would wreck his entire day. And yet, there would be nothing he could do to change the effect. So rather than do that to him, I sat in the car and watched videos. He knows all good. And I want to tell you all about that because that was so badass, that whole video Groom Expo thing. But I don't want to get there yet because I have a resolution to the customer service issue from last week.
Okay, let's hear it.
as much as we talked it out and as much as you brought me in from the ledge like a good mentor should do, which we'll also talk about a little bit later. Hey, two teases in one like 30-second period. That's pretty good. Anyway, because you talked me back in off the ledge and I was able to not Q-tip it, you know, not take it as personally when I thought about it, I thought, well, how can I provide excellent customer service to these people? Because that's my thing.
Good for you.
I provide excellent customer service.
Yes.
So
yes.
I looked at my schedule very carefully for someone whose appointment they weren't as regular or it wasn't as important or perhaps the dogs would be outside, and bingo, I came up with an appointment that's two golden retrievers. They're very new on my schedule, although I've known the people for years and years and years. And she totally understands the breakdown and wouldn't mind her out in the backyard dogs staying out in the backyard for a couple more weeks before they get their bath. No big deal. So I texted her and I said, can I move you out a couple weeks? She said, absolutely. Then, because these folks are older and I can't text them, unfortunately, because they never look at their phones and I'm not even sure they can see it, I called their house phone and I left a message. And here's what I said. Hi, this is Susie, the groomer from inside the doghouse. I just wanted to offer you some quality customer service since that is my thing. And I'd like to give you an appointment on Saturday instead of the following Wednesday. And I managed to move my schedule around a little bit. And I also would like to offer to do one of the dogs for free this time, just because it was such an inconvenience to move you around and everything. And, you know, I think of you guys as family, and I didn't want there to be any hard feelings by any means. I know how upsetting it was for you to have to have the dogs wait. And I said, please give me a call back, but I'm going to save that appointment for you. So if I don't hear from you by Saturday, I will also still hold the Wednesday appointment for you guys. Just call back and let me know. So then I hung up and I felt better. It was like, okay, that's the kind of service I like to provide. I like to make an effort to make people happy, and I like to be able to give them something to make them feel better about the situation. Then no phone call, no phone call, no phone call, no phone call. Now it's Friday night. I have still not received a phone call, but I have to call and make the reminder call for the Saturday afternoon appointment. So I call and I say, hey, you guys, this is Groomer in the doghouse again. And I was wondering if you got my message. Moved a dog around and I was able to fit your dogs in on Saturday at 1 o'clock, but I haven't heard back from you and I'm still holding the appointment. If you get this before tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I will come and do the dogs if you haven't had them done already. Still no phone call back. 10 o'clock the next morning, I get a phone call from Ed, the husband. And I'm like, hi, this is Susie, the fired groomer. And he laughed. He goes, no, did you call me last night? I said, do you ever play your phone messages, Ed? He goes, no. And I said, I called you 5 days ago to offer you a cancellation for Saturday at 1 o'clock. And he said, I got the one that you left yesterday. I hadn't realized you had left one earlier. We took the dogs into Pet Spa and we had them done. And it turns out you had sent us there before when we had an incident. So they even had records for us. So we're very grateful. But the dogs have been done. We're good. We'll see you in 6 weeks. No problem. Phew. Bullet dodged. I said, I still really want to give you one of the dogs for free, so let me do that. And he goes, okay, that's fine, because I know money is a thing for them. So there, I think I provided excellent customer service. How's my grade? Did I do okay?
I think you did very, very well. Yeah, you get an A. You get an A.
Okay, because when I was editing back again and listening to all of your advice and stuff, I thought, damn, I picked a really good mentor for me. I picked the mentor that reflects back exactly what I need to hear when I need to hear it. And she does it with patience and with thoughtfulness. And I appreciated that. Snapped me right back into place. And I was able to get my head straight and think about the customer service thing, which really is one of the ways that I excel, because it isn't my grooming necessarily. It's my stories, it's my dog handling, and my customer service that keeps these people coming back.
What I love about it is that what you did is you put on your customer service hat and you took an objective look. What would good customer service to this client look like? Getting away about, do I feel this or do I feel that about doing that? But just like, what would good customer service in this mess look like? And then you moved with that. And, you know, and you expressed the empathy. You identified with the discomfort or the upset on their part. I think you hit everything. I think the one thing that you didn't say in your message is the key words, your business is very important to me.
Okay.
Or your satisfaction is very important to me. That's just a certain thing that you need to put out there in any dispute.
So what I did say to him, which may qualify, is when I said, oh, thank goodness I'm not fired, Ed, because I consider you guys family and you guys are important to me. So I didn't really say your business was important, but at least I tried to express it. But good thing, I should use the word your business is important to me.
Or your happiness is important to me. We have enough shit in our lives. You know, that's the way that I look at it. Pet grooming shouldn't be another source of disruption and upset and being jerked around by forces that we can't control. We have enough of that. We've got the whole damn West Coast is on fire. You know what I mean? See, I would even say in some cases, I'm sorry that I jerked you around. Your happiness is important to me. Your satisfaction, your business.
And then I said,
I value you.
Kiss the dogs and kiss Cheryl for me, and I'll see you on the 19th. And off I went. And so I felt good. I felt like I learned a little bit from it because I don't often get customer service conflicts. They just don't happen very often.
I know. And so, I'm sitting in the middle of one with the people that own Willis, the incorrigible Scotty, that have never gotten back to me since I said, what did the vet say upon viewing the video? You know,
right.
But I did have an interesting conversation with a retired veterinary friend of mine, and she was a really good vet, and her wife called me begging for help with their long-haired cat. You know, I haven't been doing cats at all since the pandemic. So it was Candy Burton's cat, and because she was a veterinarian that I could talk to about issues and stuff, and so I was happy to do her a favor and groom her cat, even though I'm not grooming cats right now. And it was a beautiful cat. And we sat there and she brought in H95 masks.
Good.
I said, I want to sit across the table from you, but I need to change my mask. And I was going to put on one of my surgical masks. And she said, here, I have one of these. And then the next day she sent me, via her partner, she sent me a whole package of those for real surgical masks, which are kind of easier to breathe through all day long.
I've got a bunch of those as well, and because they work for smoke,
yeah.
The N95 ones actually work for smoke. I was going to use them instead of my normal dealy bobber today.
Yeah, you might try it and see if it's helpful to you, because these masks are definitely helpful to me since I'm having breathing difficulties. But anyway, we got to talking about a lot of things. It was a great visit. And she overpaid me, you know, she paid me like $150 just to comb out her cat and clip the belly. And I gave her some cat spray. And we talked, and I told her a little bit about the thing with the vet, that I think the vet might have thrown me under the bus. And she said, I don't know if it's the same vet as when I was in practice, but that clinic vet used to throw the Humane Society under the bus, the spay and neuter under the bus. He threw a lot of people under the bus. And I said, well, then that kind of confirms I might be right about that. I'm sitting in a dilemma. Do I reach out to these people who have been really good high-ticket customers for quite a few years, maybe at least 8 years? Or do I ask them if they want the other two dogs groomed? Do I just wait it out and see if they call? I don't quite know how I deliver good customer service in this moment of my dilemma.
Are they not scheduled on your books at this point?
No.
Oh, see, that's one of the advantages to you have to schedule your next appointment before you leave with me. I always know I've got them scheduled at least in 6 weeks. So I was going to have to deal with they would have to deal with me about that customer service issue regardless. or ghost me, which they weren't that kind of people. They're older. They don't ghost people.
These people, they will allow me to put them in the book, but they don't actively make the booking. Do you know the difference?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
The son who brings in and picks up the dogs, he doesn't engage in anything. He'll hand me his credit card. He doesn't tip, and he doesn't make the next appointment.
And Willis is his, right?
And Willis is his. And he's the party in between the old woman who is the actual pocketbook, okay?
Right. Oh, so complicated sometimes our lives are.
Yeah, see, mine is definitely complicated by the distance between the people involved here. I'm not sure they even live in the same building. You know, like, so far, I've just kind of ridden it out, and now it's a little bit beyond the interval for the two more regular dogs, not Willis. I can leave it to a higher power, but I don't really believe in a higher power. I'm sorry, everybody, but there you have it. Bert doesn't believe in the higher power. You know, like, this is the downside of being an atheist. You know, like, you got no one to lean on.
It's hard to turn it over if you got nobody to turn it over to.
Yeah, it's hard to turn it over. So, anyway.
Well, this is an ongoing saga then.
Yeah.
So we will revisit
this. To be continued, but I want to hear about Groom Expo.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and I will tell you at our first appointment all about Groom Expo Online.
Great.
You know, I've been talking about Best Shot Shampoo and Conditioner for over 3 years now on the pod. You can rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. We've come to know Best Shot as the authority on conditioning, odors, shedding, mats, and tangles. They are true pioneers of iconic, innovative grooming systems, not to mention great all-around stellar folks to deal with, that I can tell you. The Ultramax Pro line was engineered for serious grooming professionals like you. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about their latest new Ultramax additions. Are you ready? First up is Ultramax Hair Hold Spray. It's aerosol-free, which we love. It provides a soft, natural look, but a flexible hold that can be layered on as needed. It's fast drying, so it's perfect as a sculpting spray, and it has a light sweet pea fragrance. I've been using it on Westie heads and Bichon heads, and I truly love it. But my favorite is the Max. The Max is a fragrance-free ultra concentrate conditioner and detangler. In fact, just one bottle makes over 10 quarts. It gives you reduced drying time and extends manageability, and it really makes those mats and tangles disappear. If you add it to your recirculating bathing system, it becomes a de-shedding machine. You can get optimal coat performance in reduced time. Not to mention, it's in a tiny bottle and you can carry it in your mobile really easily. You owe it to yourself to check out what they're all about at ultramaxpro.com and why so many groomers are excited. That's ultramaxpro.com. For over 30 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claims to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Contact your favorite Best Shot distributor or catalog to order some Max and Hair Hold Spray today, made from the best stuff on earth. What are you waiting for? Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Talk about a bargain. I paid $99 because I registered early, and I got all of the grooming seminars. I got a trade show, virtual trade show with booths that have all kinds of really neat show deals that you don't have to be there in person, although I miss that. Oh, I miss the picking up stuff and the smelling stuff, but that's the only thing I really miss. Maybe I miss a little bit of commiserating with my fellow groomers because that's part of a trade show, but I got all of the seminars. I can watch every one of them in repeat, so I can go back and see the stuff that was running Like when you're at the show, you can't go to two rooms. You can only pick one room out of the four rooms. This way, I can see all four seminars and I can do it at my own leisure, and I can do it up until like the middle of October for $99, Barbara. $99.
So cool. Cool.
Plus, I get an invitation, if we hadn't already been invited, to the Honors Banquet to attend that virtually. You get, I mean, it's just amazing. You get the handouts all delivered to you online. You've got all of this opportunity to learn. And for me, I got to do my learning while I was still working, which my husband knows. I have to be productive. Every moment of every day has to be productive.
Multitask. Multitasking Susie. Wow. When I turned maybe 80, found that I couldn't multitask as well anymore. So I jump from one to the other and sometimes forget. And yeah, you're jamming, girl. Good. So what did you learn? What are some of the things you learned?
Well, let me tell you how it worked. That's the interesting part. And then we'll go over some of the stuff I've learned, because being on the West Coast and having the presenters on East Coast time, it meant that first seminar would happen when I'm doing my farm chores and trying to do the cat shot. It made it difficult for me to get the first one. But the second and third and fourth of the day, I was able to pick different things. You could go in and out of the rooms, so you could pick a room, and if you weren't getting what you wanted, you could go ahead and choose a different room to go into and watch that different seminar presenter. It was really interesting. Plus, you can see the PowerPoints much closer than when it's in the back of the room on the thing. So if it's a PowerPoint-driven program, like for instance, our buddy Dave Campanella did one of the things that you will often present, and that is coat damage. He does it a little bit differently, but his PowerPoint presentation was very acceptable for an online presentation. You weren't missing much because he's not demoing a dog and you're not passing stuff around. It's just PowerPoint. Same with your stuff. Your stuff is going to be fantastic in this venue. And we're doing a seminar in a few weeks, I think. Gosh, 4 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yep.
Tell me about that. Do you have that information? Am I catching you off guard on that one?
Well, it's a Wisconsin Pet Stylist Groomer Invitational. It's online. It's October 17th and 18th, I think. There's multiple presenters. Michelle Knowles is on there. There's a lot of great presenters on there. And Susie and I are doing shampoo additives, and I'm deep into the PowerPoint. I'm creating what I think is a beautiful PowerPoint that's going to keep everybody interested.
And it's tailored. It's absolutely tailored to this virtual learning environment, Barbara. It's going to be fantastic. I'm really excited to be part of it, to be your sidekick in this adventure, because having just experienced it, I'm pumped up, in case you can't tell. Could you tell? Can you tell a little bit?
So this is actually going to be, I think, the first time that Susie and I record a webinar, and then Susie edits it and polishes it and smooths it all out, so I'll look really good.
We hope, anyway.
We hope.
Because that's definitely advanced. You may find that we'll have a few missed episodes when I'm doing that, because it will take me a fair amount of time to do it, but I want it to be perfect, and it's exciting. This whole new way of learning is exciting. And the Groom Pod is part of that, because we're doing it every week through your ears, which is cool. But it's even cooler to get these specialized classes, you know. And Groom Expo really did a fantastic job. So you get your email that has the links to the different tracks, they call them, or the different rooms you can go in. And then you look at the schedule and you pick something and you click on that, and you have to download the Zoom app. Or I think you have to download the Zoom app. I did. And you pull it up, and then you're in the gallery. And you can go to the chat room, and you can ask questions. And each presenter can decide whether to take questions at the beginning, or to take questions at the end, or to take questions all throughout. And Barclay provides a room host. I'll probably be the room host for Barbara's and my little presentation. But that room host then facilitates the question and answer portion of the deal, and also controls when the presenter gets control of the room and then when it goes back to Barclay. And they give us a little information in the beginning, like Barclay's introduction would do in a regular room. And then you get your presentation. And if they're doing say, a dog demo, sometimes when the clippers are on and the person is turned a little bit away, maybe the microphone isn't quite as good. But in the rooms where people used good mics and they had lighting, you could pretty much see even better as they were clipping the dog and talking to you on the spot than you could if you were in the back or the side of the room in an actual trade show room. They cannot duplicate a trade show, though. You can't go pick up scissors and smell stuff. That's the only downside. So I would still say, if Barclay put on a virtual show every year and then also continues with our local show, I would do both, whereas in most years I would only do one. But you can't beat it. I'm going to get to see these amazing presenters. And let me tell you, the thing I was most excited about was they had a ton of behavior classes. That is something we usually don't get. They had a full, like, behavior boot camp thing happening, and our friend Chrissy Neumeyer-Smith did an excellent presentation. I loved listening to her. But there was also Barb Hoover and Angela Kumpy, and there were lots of different people speaking on behavior and table manners and training, and each one of them came from a different point of view. So I learned a little bit from each of them, and it was really fun, and I'm going to go back and listen to them again. I mean, I'm so excited to be able to review the stuff. Plus, I don't think ever in my entire life I've sat through Dave Campanella's thing, because I'm never there. I'm always somewhere else. Also, I've never seen an Asian fusion class, and I get to watch three or four of them because I've paid for them. And that's so badass. There was very little technical glitches. I didn't see any technical glitches. I loved having the opportunity to just go in and out of the speakers without disrupting them, so that when I got on someone that I wasn't really kind of clicking with, or I didn't pick up as much as I wanted to, then I could just go into a different room without interrupting, without losing my seat. I still had a front row seat to everything that was going on. So what do you think? Oh my gosh, it's so fun.
Well, that sounds great. I love your description. I'm sad that I wasn't able to participate. You know, I have to make the PowerPoint for our online presentation. I'm kind of sluggish in my old age. I slog through this stuff, and I'm determined to keep focus and not just lose myself, because once I get stimulated by something like Dave's presentation or somebody else's presentation, I'm going to start looking shit up and checking it out, and my mind's going to go, I want to write about this, I want to write about that, and then I'm not doing my PowerPoint. So I'm trying to keep everything under control and not allow myself those distractions. So unfortunately, I couldn't dare go to Groom Expo this time, but I'll go the next time.
But tonight, we're both going to go to the Honors Banquet together and accept the award for... Okay, well, maybe we won't be accepting the award, but we'll be able to watch the grooming professors accept their award for the fourth year in a row. Oh, no. You know, we've got a shot. You never know. I know our Groom Pod pack would love us to win the award, but I'm just happy to be nominated and continually be nominated.
No, you're not. You want to win, and I
want to win bad.
I want to see us win, because I want to see you win. And, of course, I'm a little bit on the competitive side. I want to win, too. I want to become more relevant. I want to stay on people's list. So, but I really want to see you get acknowledged for you do the real work. I just look stuff up and read about it and get excited and translate science. But you do the actual editing and the just real nuts and bolts work on creating an outstanding podcast, which I think we offer.
If I ever decide to put the old broken down trailer in the barn and remove the wraps from my hands and my shoulder and my ankles and sit down for a while, I would probably like to have a network of podcasts that are grooming related or pet related in some way. And I would love to be the producer for that. I would love people to send me their content and pay me to spend hours and hours at a time making their podcast sound as really nice as ours. So, you know, I do have a huge amount of pride in what we do, and that's why I haven't released last week's podcast. I'm 3/4 of the way through, but I Here's the honest truth. I fell asleep, and I don't know where I stopped, so I have to go back and find out where I stopped editing and continue on. I think it's probably only 20 minutes, so I'll bang that out and get that up right away. But that's a good podcast. That's where we learn all about, well, you guys will have heard it by now, but we learn all about Susie's customer service woes, and we resolve them this week, and that was pretty doggone cool. Okay, well, that's my Groom Expo report. I look forward to doing more of that virtual stuff, and especially doing it with Barbara. So we've got that going on. Anyway, let's take a break. And then, Barbara, I feel a rant coming on from you, and it's an annual rant, and we're just going to let you fly with it. So hang tight, guys. We'll be right back. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now, okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
I'm sitting down. I'm totally... Ha! She's got the Angry Bird mask on. We are in deep doo-doo now. That's really cool, Barbara. I love it. For you guys who can't see this, Barbara has an awesome red mask with the red Angry Bird on it. And it's really, really cool.
Just to let you know that it is a rant. It is an Angry Bird moment here. And I will tell you what set me off. I took a look. I've been missing in action on the shampoos in the grooming industry Facebook page, but I thought, I'll find something over there for a conversation today. And here's, I found this post. So the groomer asks, is there a way to enter ingredients and know if it is harmful for pets? Oh, don't we all wish?
Yeah.
Not just is it harmful, but is it harmful for pets? No, there is no way to do that. I'm sorry. The closest that you can come to that is for you to have my groomer's glossary, which you don't have. And it's a part of my book, and it's coming out in its own book form soon, this year, I hope. So, look at, then she lists a bunch of ingredients, which is probably her ingredient list. Cocamide, propyl betaine, sodium C14, 16 olefin, propylene glycol, blah, 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 blah. And Dave Campanella makes a good point. if a manufacturer openly provides inky disclosure of its ingredients, wouldn't they want to display safe formulations? Well, yeah, probably. And then the one that struck me. Another groomer says, I look up ingredients on this page and it's the EWG Skin Deep Cosmetics Database. And I've got to say, ew! Ew to the EWG Skin Deep Database. Here's my response. I haven't actually posted it yet because I might have more to say. I say EWG Skin Deep Database is fatally flawed. They generate fear and distrust, upon which they generate multi-million dollars in donations. I thought that was a great sentence.
That is.
They generate fear and distrust, upon which they generate multi-million dollars in donations. They do not respect the basic tenet of toxicology, quote, the dose makes the poison, unquote. They give equal weight to junk science studies and peer-reviewed published science. Ingredients which have not been studied and very little information about their safety and effectiveness is available score higher than tried and true ingredients that have been considerably studied. So there's a whole lot of reasons that I don't. Basically, I've got to be honest that I can be a tree hugger. You know, I care about the environment. I care about the trees. The forest fire thing is killing me. I'm a bit of a liberal. I'm a little progressive. I'm a tree hugger. And I can support a certain amount of environmental activism. But EWG is a group that generates, they are a fear-mongering group. They generate fear and suspicion about cosmetic ingredients. And their database is inaccurate and not reliable. They generate money by making people afraid. They exaggerate their results. They make up shit. They're just not a reliable study. There are better sources of information about ingredients, but there isn't any place else that scores ingredients, which is pretty silly anyway, because an ingredient per se is not suspicious it's not good or bad. Ingredients are effective or not effective according to how they're used and how they're used in a formula. And whether it's a skin cream is different than a rinse-off 10-minute shampoo. There's huge difference there. It's really hard to say whether the ingredients in your product are problematic. And Dave Campanella makes a very important point that if a company is willing to disclose their ingredients online in a list, they probably have some confidence in the safety of those ingredients. There are very few cosmetic ingredients that I know about that are actually toxic or dangerous to pets or people in the ways that they are used in cosmetic ingredients. You don't want to drink a whole bottle of propylene glycol or you might have diarrhea. Really bad, because it is used for constipation. So, you know, but that's a little bit different than rinsing some through your hair, you know, having it be an additive in your hair product, and it's used as a humectant, okay? So, right. There's a big difference between using propylene glycol as a humectant and using propylene glycol as a constipation relief. How can you put studies of that together and come up with some kind of a score for propylene glycol? It doesn't make any sense, people. And this is what EWG does. They use stories and they use anecdotes and they use information that's unreliable. It isn't necessarily repeatable from study to study. They use junk science. It so happens that the ingredients that are extremely well studied are likely to have incidents where a rat died or something, you know, and so then they get points off. You know, they misinterpret the studies. So in an ingredient that's been studied for years and years by different scientists in different ways and slicing the pie different, every scientific study has to slice the pie in certain very rigid ways, those ingredients just score more poorly just because they have been widely studied. And some of those studies may have been discredited due to improper setup of the experiment. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
And then that gets to the, you know, anyway, that's how, so what, I just totally distrust. And there was a poll of toxicologists, so scientists that specialize in toxicology, determining the poisonousness of substances. 85% of toxicologists distrust EWG skin that database.
Well, 85%. It's just a statement as to you need to be very careful where your sources are. And it leads us into our final topic of the day, which is choosing a mentor. So let's take a last break and then come back and talk about mentors and picking them and what's out there and some guidance and all of that there stuff. So Barbara, what's new over at Show Season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because Show Season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it, so we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about Show Season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. In a trade like ours, having a mentor is such a big help, almost even a necessity, I think, in a lot of ways. And the world of social media has given us a wide range of accessibility to a variety of mentors, good and bad, you know? And it brought this question to mind is, how do we choose who to be our mentor? And what are some of the things that are important to consider when interviewing a potential mentor? So, being the researcher that I am, I looked it up online. And I assembled this little kind of a guide to picking a mentor, and I thought we could talk about it. What is a mentor? What's mentorship? A relationship in which a more experienced or knowledgeable person, now that's key right there, more experienced and knowledgeable person helps to guide a less experienced or less knowledgeable person. It's not about age, it's about experience and expertise. So that's what a mentor is supposed to do. They're supposed to know more than you, and they're supposed to help guide you through whatever it is they're mentoring through, right? Which is what happened last week to me in front of you guys, like right there on the spot. You got to watch a first-class mentor in action mentoring her mentee. That's a lot of mms.
Oh, you got it. You're cracking me up. Thank you.
Okay, so let's start with these five ideas. The values your mentor has should align with your own in some way. Maybe just figuring out what your values are is part of having a mentor. And certainly during the journey of being with a mentor and having them guide you, you may find that you're a little more incongruent or, you know, you have differences of opinion. So you've got to kind of find your way in the grooming journey with your mentor. But if you can find a mentor that has some of the same values, like Barbara and I, we really recognize that it's a unique industry and individuals have found a way to thrive in this industry where they may not in other industries. And we have flexibility and always learning and researching. And these are things that I really admire in a mentor. And Barbara has those characteristics. She's a great writer and all of that stuff.
I can give an example of a disparity.
Okay.
You know, I had a mentor under whom I apprenticed, and I highly valued his grooming skills and his scissoring abilities, but we did not hold the same values on honoring the pet's experience of the grooming. So we can say that he was kind of a bully. He came from a show background, and he kind of, even though he loved animals and everything, he groomed with kind of a forceful presentation at the table. He was not abusive, but he withheld that he might have the potential to be. Do you know what I mean? Those dogs respected him, but I always thought that he was a little bit insensitive, and I just disagreed with that aspect. We just did not line up in that way, because I would rather compromise a grooming and have a happier dog on my table than, or a less stressed dog on my table, and he would get things done even if it took three people to cut the nails. But he was still a fantastic mentor. I just always recognize that we differed in this one area.
Right. It's a perfect example of how everybody's got something to teach us. Even if you don't agree with their whole philosophy, you can always learn something from someone. Sometimes it's how not to be in that case.
And right.
Sometimes it's how to be in the case of his scissoring and stuff. It's a perfect example.
Yeah. Thanks.
So as a mentor, communication and accessibility are huge, because nothing is more frustrating to you than when you're in the middle of grooming a dog and you've accidentally run a 40 or 30 blade down the back of a dog and you're panicked and you have no one to talk to and you hope you can reach out to your mentor and they never pick up the phone. This is a challenge, especially when you've really relied on that person to guide you. I've got a person I'm mentoring right now who will primarily be a cat groomer. She mostly has done cats for the last 5 years, but everybody who has a cat has a dog and they want their dog done too. So she started to do more dogs again. She used to do dogs, and she gets flustered at what comb to use and kind of what to do as far as styling. So I will get at 10 in the morning, because she's back east, I'll get a 10 in the morning text with a picture saying they want it short but not shaved. What do I do? And I'll send her my advice, because I am very accessible in that respect. So I think that I can always count on you to check your messages. And if you, heaven forbid, get a phone call from me, you probably would drop everything and pick it up, because I just don't call that often. So that line of communication is really important. Sometimes it hampers your ability to learn if you can't get the communication off. Like, for instance, I had somebody reach out to me about cat alopecia, And I have been trying to research cat alopecia and trying to be a good mentor and help this wonderful person who is a listener to the podcast about cat alopecia. It is such an individual thing, and it is so often medical and sometimes psychological. I'm not much help in this respect, and truthfully, I haven't gotten back to her about it. So if you're listening, that's what's going on with the cat alopecia.
It is what it is.
Yes. Yeah. Communication style, like the ability to convey information. When I was teaching dance, which I haven't done for about 3 years and it's killing me, when I was teaching dance, I would teach everything from young people to older people. And throughout the years, I've learned that people learn things in different ways. You can say shuffle, shuffle, stamp to some person and brush, 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 step to another person. It's the same step. And yet one person will get it with one type of language and the other person will get it with the other type of language. And the third person has to just see it and they've got it like that. And I think that if you don't have that back and forth with your mentor and they don't have a really good way of teaching, that doesn't help. You're a great teacher, Barbara. Thanks for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Willingness to mentor by the mentor. Sometimes you want desperately somebody to be your mentor, but they just don't have the time, or they don't show the interest, or they show just enough interest to keep you trying to get them to be your mentor, but it doesn't ever quite gel. So you want to be sure that the person wants to be a mentor.
That's a good point. Mentors don't have time or lives to necessarily mentor everybody that reaches out to them. I say from a mentor's point of view.
Very true.
I can't help everybody on an individual basis. Sometimes that drives me crazy. You know, that's why I love the Groom Pod. That's why I love to do seminars and webinars and teach groups of people at a time and then maybe tweak it through some individual mentoring. But, you know, to try to mentor groomers one-on-one, one-by-one, yikes.
Yeah, you can only do so much. I pick and choose pretty carefully, but I do love that one-on-one stuff. The groomer's success in business does not necessarily equate to success as a mentor. Neither does...
Thank you.
Yeah. Neither does being successful mean they're a good mentor. It's just how good they teach and communicate, right, Barbara?
Clearly, someone like I don't try to mentor business management. That's not my area of expertise, clearly. It's just not. I haven't taken good care of myself in my own business. I can drop a hint here or there. I can say a few things about what I learned. Don't do what I did. Don't build up a big retail store on the basis of credit cards. Please don't do that. You know,
words of wisdom straight from the mentor's mouth.
See, I can say things like that, but you don't see me doing seminars on management, on business right. management, because that's not my area of expertise. So you want a mentor that knows their limits.
Yes. And there's no reason you can't have more than one mentor, like a mentor for your business aspect and a mentor for your customer relations and artistic aspects. So don't rule out, you know, reaching out to multiple people. See, with the internet, we have the access and there are people out there who are willing to help if you reach out to them, especially even locally, you can get people. Personality does play a part because if you clash with somebody, you're not going to reach out to them. They're not going to really be as good of a guide. So make sure you actually like the person that you're reaching. Uh-oh, she's putting the angry birds.
I'm taking it off.
Okay, dodged a bullet there. So you want to be comfortable with them. You want them to have qualities you look up to. And do they offer contrasting qualities and will they push you a little bit to become a better person? That's good too. Like Barbara called me on my, well, talked me off the ledge the other week. They've got to be able to recognize when your mentee is doing that and be able to calm them down and talk them through and help them learn, prepare for competition, whatever it is. Speaking of that, you want your mentor and mentee relationship to be laid out. Like if you're the mentor and you don't want somebody to call you in the middle of your workday, let them know that I don't mind at all. Some people do. Some people don't want to have the ability and or time and patience to stop what they're doing and answer a question during the workday. Some people like the telephone. Some people would rather email. Some people do text. So make sure the your lines of communication are open and you lay it out there how you want to do it and really how often you require help. If you're going to be a needy mentee, let that be known right off the bat. You're going to be a pro. You're going to call all the time. You're going to need a lot of help. Or if you're just going to reach out occasionally when some client doesn't react the way you want, you know, then there's a variety out there. So Barbara's got a thumbs down. What are you thinking?
You want to try to not be too needy of a mentee because you cannot drain your mentor. You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah, don't drain your mentor. Try to think through things for yourself and try to hold on to what your mentor tells you so they don't have to tell you the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Of course, one of the most important things that Susie and I do with each other, actually, is point out when the other person is taking things too personally. And when you're taking things too personally, it's really hard to recognize that. You know, there are kinds of little tricks to sort of recognize you're being triggered and giving it an hour and taking a look at it again. And then there's the old standby of taking off your personal cap and putting on your business cap and trying to get a little more objective viewpoint. But taking it personally, in order to be a mentor, you have to be pretty brave and bold and know how to context your criticism in a way that each individual can take it. Because there have been things that have been told to me in a critical tone that I just couldn't take.
Right, your hackles go up and then you don't learn from it. That's why it was so great when you called me out last week that I was able to shut my mouth and open my ears, to use an AA term, and listen to what you had to say. Then I got to go back and edit it, and I listened to it again. But in between, I had already taken my hat off, put the other hat on, made the phone call, made myself feel better by offering the service. That's my thing. So, okay, well, I want to read some of our responses on our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/thegroompod. So I'm going to be posting more interactive questions every week. I want you guys to be responding to them so we can each mentor each other and learn from each other and keep the dialogue going on our Facebook page and get everybody interested in listening to the podcast. I should tell you what I asked first. I said, interactive question. What do you look for in a mentor? Courtney says, someone I share common ideas with who are actively learning and putting themselves out there to better help others. Basically, I don't want someone advising me who settles or stops learning. Good words. Kat says, a sense of humor makes all the difference. I happen to agree with that. Everything's easier to take with a sense of humor. Once again, an attribute that you bring to the table.
thank you.
Yes. Antoinette says, kindness and willingness to allow you to grow beyond what they were able to achieve. That's cool. Recognizing and respecting the journey is different for everyone and knowing when to let go. I'm not looking to be a clone, just the best me I can be. I like that. I especially like the part where she says to grow beyond what you were able to do, because I can teach dance steps that I can't do, but I can teach them really well. I can explain them. I can visualize them. I can help somebody achieve them, but I can't do them yet. So there are people who have that ability, and she's recognizing that. Kelly says, someone who is kind, wanting to teach, and mindful in giving feedback. Someone that can help you grow at a pace that you're willing to move at. So she doesn't want to be pushed. She'll just go roll. I love that.
You know, everybody comes into a relationship bringing their entire personal history with them, especially childhood stuff. Because if you were pushed too much in your childhood and you felt stressed by that, you are going to not want to be pushed in a mentoring relationship. I mean, it's good when we can recognize what childhood forces are operating on us, but not everybody has done that personal work. Personally, I like to work with people who have done some work on themselves, because that leaves a really open conversation to have. I love mentoring you because I know you will stop and listen, even if at first maybe you don't. I know that I'm not going to hurt you. You know, I'm not going to hurt the puppy. I know I'm not going to hurt you. I know you're strong, and I know that I can be direct with you. I don't have to beat around the bush. Sometimes when you beat around the bush, the person doesn't get the point because you've softened it so much, it loses impact, right?
I like that you let me spin around in a circle like a border collie, which is necessary before I can sit and listen. So you let me spin around and I sit and I listen. It's all good. You have to know what your mentee style is.
Yeah, you have to know your people. You know, become acquainted with people you're going to be in a mentoring relationship with and know their tolerances. And you can always ask, can we have more time to digest this? Or do you mean I'm a horrible groomer or what?
No, not that. Okay, Debbie Jo, who you know, says, I'm looking for someone that thinks outside the box, somebody that delves into research that I may or may not have the time to or fortitude to look at on my own, someone that has great ethics and wants to better the sport of canines, whether it be grooming, breeding, or showing. Chris Bear Anthony says, just did a Toastmasters speech on mentors, someone who will push me gently out of my boundaries and have faith in me while showing me that path to achieve my goals. Awesome. Ashley says, experience, knowledge, and skill, but willingness to teach and not being an egotistical asshat is just as important. Can be the most knowledgeable and skilled person, but without knowing how to teach and being willing, it doesn't matter. She's right there. And then lastly, Samantha says, I look for someone who pushes me because I need it. That lets you learn by doing is always a big plus. Doesn't sugarcoat things. I like to do my very best, so I need to be shown what's wrong and what I can do better the next time. And she says, basically, a mentor who can show you how to do it, have you do it, and give constructive criticism. Also, I would say not one groomer is ever going to know everything. There's always something new to learn, so a good mentor will always strive to learn more and teach the new techniques and things they have learned. It gets really sad to see these seasoned groomers be stuck doing the same thing for 30 years and be stubborn in it. This is a fast-growing industry, and
amen.
I think it's good to try and keep up.
Who said that?
That is Samantha Henchette.
Well, thank you, Samantha. Thank you for saying that. Okay, next.
That's it. We're done.
Oh, well.
That's it.
Good.
Now we're all qualified to be mentors and mentees. That's it. I'm signing off. Now, I like that topic, though.
Yeah, it is a good topic. Thanks for bringing that up. That was fun.
Good. All right, cool. Speaking of bringing things up, I'm going to have to go groom some dogs. And you know what? I'm taking with me my Ultramax hair hold spray and my The Max. And I've been using the crap out of all that stuff. It's amazing. I hope you guys all try it. And that's about it. Anything else you want to add, Barbara?
I do want to add that, remember the shoulder and back massage that I was touting a few weeks
yes.
ago? I gave one to my assistant, Yvonne, who's 63 years old and has a lot of arthritis in her shoulders and in her everything. She says, best gift ever. She has now come by, and she's here. That was back on, like, Friday, and she's still thanking me.
Oh, nice.
She's sending me good luck for the night. She says, good luck today, and thank you again for the massager. My whole body thanks you, too.
So that's the one that goes over your shoulders like a shawl?
Yeah, but you can use it on just about any part of your body, even your feet. you know, and it just has a rotating action that is so realistic, just really helpful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, here's hoping that I have an uneventful week.
Yeah, that's what, I wish you a boring week, Susie.
Oh, good. All right, well, let's meet here and do it all again next week. Thanks everybody for being here. Thanks for supporting us on Patreon. Have a good week. Happy grooming, and see you next time on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
And please wear those masks. Okay, bye now.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening, and see you real soon.